I'm opening up, like, you know, just setting up because we're starting the show. And there's this tab open with this Bayer medicated Campo Panique pain and Finique pain and itch relieving is not even spelled right, liquid antiseptic. It just kind of took me back a little bit. Anyways, hi, thank you for tuning in to Kinkalectual. If you're following us on the Twitter, we are Intellectual Kink, and I'm Service Slut, and then across the table from me is...
I'm Insidious Muse. Hi. Oh, shit. I don't want to fix the shit. I was tweeting and fetlifing and ing.
So. All of these things, ing.
A lot of ings going on.
Yeah, so it's raining here in LA.
It is. I'm really excited about
it. Me too.
So in the drive over on NPR, they had somebody on who apparently is Los Angeles Rain on Twitter. And occasionally this person will tweet as Los Angeles Rain and say, "Hey, I'm not gonna show up until you get a football team or until, you know," all of these
That's cute.
Very Los Angelino kind of things, right? So he's on NPR. It was hilarious. I'm like, yeah.
That's adorable.
Yeah, and apparently he got the mayor to send him a picture. Not an inappropriate, not like an Anthony Weiner picture,
uh-huh.
Like, you know, just a very Los Angelino hipster picture. So there's that. Must have had skinny jeans on.
Fuck.
And a beard.
Oh, God. Stop right there.
Beard. Ugh. But I love the rain. Mm-hmm. It's lovely.
It is so pretty.
It is.
And then, yeah, it's nice.
Do you know that if you dream of water, they say that water is representative of sex?
Fuck. That'd be
Did
nice.
Did you know that? Sex would be nice?
Yeah.
Okay. That is a lovely segue. Because we have a topic tonight.
Oh, God, I feel like I'm going to be stepping on landmines like all night tonight.
You are.
God damn me.
You are. You're lucky I didn't have time to gather things.
No.
Things. So the topic is orgasm control.
Womp, womp.
Why is it womp womp? It's not specifically denial. It's control.
Restriction.
Under that. No. Restriction is under control. Denial is under control. You know, forced is under control. Those are all underneath it. And all of those in the spectrum of orgasms, lots to little, that is where orgasm control, it's got all of that. It's a big umbrella.
That's where it lives. Got it.
Yes. So why do you think you're going to be stepping on landmines?
I don't know. Because sometimes it's like, oh, God.
That is not actually an answer.
Because obviously that's a feature of our relationship, but it's also, like, not something that, like, we really, like, talk about that often, because I don't ask you for orgasms that often, and, you know...
Sometimes you do something that is exemplary, and I say, for that, you have earned an orgasm.
Right.
That happens.
It has happened. But for the most part, I feel like... This is going to sound... See? And then you give me that look because you're totally expecting me to step on a landmine.
And then
that makes me not want to say anything.
Say it.
Because sometimes I feel like if I ask, then hearing no is going to make me feel really not good. And so then I would rather save myself.
Really not good.
Terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day.
Wow. I have that book too.
Love that book.
I used to know it by heart.
Love it.
Several books I used to know by heart. Well, but that's, you know.
And that's a me thing.
That's a you thing. But that's what happens when you are an S type. Just
well,
what happens.
Well, yeah.
It's one of them things.
Yeah.
It's one of them things.
Yeah.
And orgasm control is really, it's one of like one of the top parts of any DS relationship in which I am a part of, Dangling participles irk me. Anyway, so it's for me, and it's really interesting because the way it's done for men and women is a little bit different. Not a lot different, but a little bit different, because when you're dealing with orgasms, you're dealing with hormones, and men and women have significantly different hormones, if you didn't know.
Uh-huh.
They do.
Yeah.
And for you, for a very long time, you were on a medication that really stifled your sexual desire.
Mm-hmm.
So really, whatever.
It wasn't a big deal. But orgasm denial was like being done by itself.
Right. It was the medicine, right? But you then changed medication. And so mm-hmm. then, you know, that little spark that starts with that little nugget in between your legs, it's like, hey, how you doing?
Ding dong.
You hadn't been around a long time lately.
Yeah.
Want to come down and play?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably does that. So you're really, 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 really lucky. I ran out of time.
Why?
So I was charging my little Wii Vibe. So I was going to bring the Wii Vibe mm-hmm. and the Lilu beads and a butt plug.
Well, that's a lot. Bring
all of that and say, go, put all of this in. And then now the Wii Vibe is fantastic because it's remote controlled, right? Mm-hmm. But the reality is you really need to be like less than 2 feet away and directly pointing at it in order for it to work. So it's really fantastic if you're under table and next to the person and maybe their legs are spread. But like from the distance that we're apart, it wouldn't work. Like I couldn't just click it on going, ha ha ha. You know, I would have to tell you now, turn it on for 2 minutes or whatever kind of things. But yeah, that was what I was going to do and have you wear it. And I was just going to, you know, randomly throughout the show, do various kinds of edging in a completely educational way.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Completely educational. So, what? So all I heard from you was kind of whining. So when you hear orgasm control, what do you think? That isn't whining, I should specify.
Whoa.
Because there's, you know, a really easy answer if you don't like it.
No, I know.
Okay.
Of course there's an easy answer.
There's an easy answer if you don't like it.
Absolutely easy. I think it's one of the larger forms of giving someone control.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that, you know, people wake up every day and they do it. They do it before they go to bed. It's like that guilty pleasure that's not really that guilty.
Well, it used to be.
It used to be. But, it's something that it's all your own. Like, you discover your body and, you know, everybody orgasms differently. It's true. Something that's unique to you. And you give that to someone else and now that's, they're, it's one more part of your body that they're owning. It is a bodily function. You know, you can blindfold me. You can put a gag on me. You can do things that will prevent me from doing things that I would do anyways, like speaking and seeing. But orgasm control is one of those things that it doesn't require. I mean, yeah, I guess for dudes, you can do a chastity device and that kind of stuff, but it's more on an emotional level. And there's something that about it that requires a fuck ton of trust. Mm-hmm. A lot of trust and a lot of patience, you know, because when we weren't living together, I could have had an orgasm and you would have never known because we don't live together.
True.
I mean, you would have known because I would have been like, hey, so I did this thing.
You're terrible at hiding things.
I am terrible.
You're like the worst liar on the planet.
Right. So so you would have found out eventually. But then, you know.
Also,
then
I'm a really good lie detector.
Right. And so then eventually then. The question would have been, well, where's the trust?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, no, and that's one of my things is that chastity devices are great. They're awesome. And from everybody that I know that's worn them, you know, men, I don't actually know any women that have worn chastity devices. They say that it feels like my hand is wrapped around them all day or for as long as it's on, which is kind of cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I need a chastity device for somebody to not orgasm, then they can't be in my life in that regard.
Right.
Because that's what it takes. It takes, look, I'm asking you to do something and you're going to do it or not to do it, you know, whichever way I'm going. Mm-hmm. And if you can't do that, then the basis of our relationship is faulty and therefore we can't continue.
Right.
It's just the way it goes. Let me give you a little story.
Tell me the story.
Oh my God, a little story.
Can you do voices too?
What?
Are you going to do voices?
I'm not reading a children's story. Voices come in children's stories.
Okay.
Maybe I'll read you one tonight.
Oh, shut your face.
Excuse me? Shut my what?
No.
What did you say?
I did say it, but like I said it because I was excited. And so.
Anyway. So there's this gentleman, this guy that like I've been talking to him for I don't know how long now. Like, you know, it feels like forever. And it's just been kind of weird and whatever. And so we were doing this thing and then I gave him instructions to do this edging thing, right? And then he did the edging thing and then he came. Even though before I said, you know, you don't get to come without permission. And then he came and I was like, are you fucking serious? And he's like, well, I didn't have to tell you. So that's your answer? You didn't have to tell me? No. You misunderstand the exercise.
Yeah, trying to get credits for being honest, quote unquote.
The exercise was not about, hey, if he's going to fuck up, is he going to tell me? No. Can you follow a simple fucking task? That's it. Mm-hmm. Very simple. It's easy. Just don't come. Hell, I can even do that. And that's fucking saying something. I can.
No, you can't.
I could put myself on orgasm restriction if I chose to.
No, you cannot.
I absolutely can, but let's be honest, nobody around me wants me like that.
Well, because...
I am grumpy.
Oh, my God.
When I haven't had sex in a while, I'm a very, very, very grumpy person. I am. And I've been really grumpy lately. Thank God I'm having sex tomorrow night. Grumpy. See? So, but it was a very simple thing and he just didn't do it. And I'm like, are you? And that was it. I was like, I'm done. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to have this discussion any longer because you're wasting my time. Go to somebody who cares or is willing to invest in you like this. I'm not. It's real easy. But the nice thing about that is like, hey, okay, all right, that was a really easy thing. And he failed, which means I don't have to waste my time anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't have to go through all of these headaches and be like, oh, this person is exhausting. And I don't like that. I don't like exhausting people.
I don't know if to some people, like, orgasm control is a sexy thing necessarily. Because people value their orgasms. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. But, I mean, because you're taking it from the bottom side, from the submissive side. So what do you say? I mean, what do you mean by it's a sexy thing and they value it? So what do you?
Well, I personally think that orgasm control is an emotional thing. And that makes it appealing to me. It is not some, like, I just, to be honest, like, even if there wasn't any orgasm control, I wouldn't be having orgasms that often anyways. I just wouldn't. Like, it's just, I'm weird like that. But I feel like, you know, for someone that is interested in orgasm control, I think it goes further than to say, oh, it's so hot and, you know, it makes me horny or something. I think it's more something that you would engage in to be dedicated to someone. I don't see someone who's like a casual play partner engaging in something like that.
Agreed. Orgasm control isn't really for scenes. It's for relationships.
Right.
It's a little bit, I mean, you could in a scene, but also, well, they can go home and masturbate. Who cares? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just not the same. I mean, you could within a 24-hour time period, et cetera, but if you can't come in 24 hours, I mean, really, is that control? Not a lot. I mean, a little. It's a minute amount of control. Now, if you told somebody within a 24-hour time period, you will have as many orgasms as you can within this time period. You have no other plans. You're not working. You're blah, blah, blah. And you will give me a total at the end of it. That is orgasm control. And I have done that. By the way, women win every single time. Just putting that out there. Because the men just can't. At some point, they're like, I'm done. There's puffs of air coming out. Yep. Well, my girl's going still. So you're at 6 and she's at 23 right now. So she wins. Because that's fun. Whoop, whoop. No, I agree that there is a significant mental component to any kind of orgasm control. And it is about continuing that linkage, that DS relationship kind of dynamic. It's about giving over that control to somebody, having that trust in them and having that trust in the submissive as well, that each person's going to do their part. And it's a beautiful thing. particularly when, you know, an orgasm happens, that it is given specifically by the dominant. You know, I can't say that when I give, you know, an orgasm, I gave the best orgasm. I'm not going to say that. But it's enhanced because there is that emotional component to it.
Right. There's something about being granted an orgasm that makes it better. Makes it, well, at least for me, it makes it better for me. It feels it's better than getting a good girl or a pat on the head or whatever it may be. It feels nice. It feels like I'm being gifted time with myself. Does that make sense?
No.
Like, it's really hard for me, even before we had orgasm control, it's really hard for me to do things just for me. So when someone says, go do this thing that's just for you, that happens to be really fucking awesome, it just, there's something extra about it.
Okay. So what you're saying is we can take orgasms off the table altogether for you and I can send you on to get pedicures and that will be the same.
No, because it's not extra awesome like an orgasm.
Mani-pedi? I added a mani in there. But the way that you said that was almost diminishing what an orgasm is. I mean, because an orgasm is, I mean, it's a full body experience.
It's explosions.
Or it should be a full body experience.
It's not always, though. You know what really sucks is when you say, oh, you can have one orgasm. And that one orgasm is so shitty.
Oh, Jesus. It pisses me off.
It makes me so mad.
I've never been, like, granted an orgasm. But when, you know, it's like, I got just like time for this one. And you're like, oh. And the worst thing is when you like, you know, it's there, it's almost there, it's almost there, it's almost there. And then you have an orgasm, but you're like, fuck, this was, you dickhead. That's pretty much how I feel.
Yeah.
Shitty
really
orgasm.
Sucks. Really, really sucks. Because then it's like, well, shit, I can't go downstairs and be like, hey, I had a really crappy orgasm. Can I have another one? Like, that's.
Like, you do know what my answer would be.
No.
Sucks to be you.
Exactly.
Sucks to be you. Or, oh, poor baby. Nope. Then I always come back with something fantastic like, okay, have seven.
Before I go to bed.
Yep.
And then that's impossible. There's no time for that.
It's seven or none. I do this all the time.
Yeah. And then but it's impossible to achieve because there's other people in the house or you're about to go to sleep or whatever it is.
And you're loud now. You didn't used to be loud. You used to be all quiet. Now you're fucking loud. I'm like, do you mind? I am trying to sleep.
But here's the thing is that I now enjoy them more than I did before. That's why.
Gag you during your orgasms.
I didn't do anything.
I'll fucking duct tape your head.
The fuck?
That's what I'll do, goddammit. Send you to the car. Go masturbate in the car. Get out. Get off my lawn.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So under the umbrella of orgasm control, as we said, there's the denial, there's the restriction, which is more your situation's restriction.
Yes.
I don't specifically deny you, but when you ask, I ask why. Why? I always need a reason, understanding.
And I mean, not for nothing, but let's be casual here. Is there ever a good reason? Like, is there ever like a reason other than like it feels good? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, God. That's why I said let's be...
You are talking to an incredibly rational person.
Right. But if I approach you and I ask for an orgasm and you say why, and I say because it feels good, is that not logical?
No. That is the most surface answer I will... And I won't give you it just for that. You know what I want? Mistress, may I have an orgasm? I'm asking for the following reasons. Number one, there's been a lot of stress and I'm really stressed out and I have this kind of pent up energy. I've been feeling really, really anxious and I'm hoping that through this release, it will help alleviate some of my anxiety. Number two, et cetera, whatever. I want fucking bullet points. I'm really logical. And I know it's maddening to the rest of the world.
Yes!
But that's when you ask for something from me, if it's orgasms, if it's anything you ask for something of me, that's what I want. Give me a logical reason. Does that mean that I'm devoid of emotion?
No.
Not at all. I, in fact, have oodles and oodles of it that I give all the time. However, it's one of those, I need to understand this. Why? What is going on in your head? And I'm not psychic. Am I incredibly observant? Yes, but I'm not psychic. So I don't know what's going on in your head until you tell me. That's all. It's not that hard.
No.
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 You just don't like it. Why don't you like it?
Which part?
The fact that I require a logical rationale.
It's not that I don't like it. It's that when I do ask, it's something where like, okay, I am fully aware that this has now become a necessity. I need to have this now. Not need in the way that you define it, but need in the way where I have an urgent want. And so then it's really hard to come up with things like that on the fly when I want like instant gratification.
Boy, did you choose the wrong relationship for instant gratification. Fuck, I don't even get instant gratification.
I know, I understand. It's just difficult for me. You and I are not, we don't think the same way in terms, you're very logical and I'm not.
I know.
So if when you want me to respond in a way that I'm not really used to.
It's a muscle, you understand that, right?
Yes, yes, I understand. And it's.
Anybody can learn to be logical.
Yes, and it's not quite as developed as yours. So.
Channel your inner Vulcan. It's all good. And you'll be good. You're looking at me like I kicked your dog.
No, I'm just really stressed out right now.
About this or just in general?
Well, in general, and also about this because I'm kind of like landmines, man. Like, I'm just like, is this going to come back to bite me in the ass? Well,
everything in all of our shows at some point come back to bite you in your ass.
I know, but this is one of those things where like, I'm very concerned about how exactly it's going to come back to bite me.
I'm curious. What do you think that I might do?
I don't. You know what? I'm not sure. And because I'm not sure, I shouldn't be anxious. I understand that it is not logical for me to be anxious at this time because there is nothing that tells me that something will directly result from all of this, from this topic. So logically, I should be calm. But unfortunately, I am not very logical when it comes to my anxiety. I am really emotional about it. So I'm just telling you that that's how I'm feeling, but I'm thinking that it's not going to be that big a deal. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. Okay. You still have like that anxious vibe though, and it's like, stop it with the anxious vibe.
I'm trying.
I'll feed you more bologna.
I just came back from yoga and like all the zen that I had is gone.
So basically you're saying I'm a zen sucker.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Stop jumping to conclusions,
please.
Totally
what I heard.
No.
Pretty sure everybody out there heard.
No.
A zen sucker.
No.
No?
No.
No.
Please. That's not what I meant.
All right. Now I completely lost the topic.
No. Oh, no.
What were we talking about?
Orgasm control.
I'm ready to drop the mic and walk out.
No.
Done.
No. What's appealing about orgasm control to you?
It is a very simple way to enhance roles.
Okay.
Whenever there are certain aspects of control that the dominant, that me as the dominant has, they each independently can enhance my dominance and your or their submissiveness. Submission is a word. And orgasm control, it is. It's very intimate. And it's very easy to play around in it. because I'm really gifted at fucking with people's heads. And especially when it's about like desire and sexual impulses and things like that. It's just kind of a part of the human brain I really understand. Mm-hmm. I understand it on an emotional level, on a physical level, and all that stuff. So it's a really easy place for me to be like, okay, this is where we are. This is where we're playing around. We're gonna push here. We're gonna play here. We're gonna prod here. We're gonna massage here. You know, whatever it is. I mean, I know the specific things that you like, and when there are certain times, let's say I'm looking at Tumblr or whatever erotic imagery. And a lot of the things that I look at, a good, I'd say 35% apply to you to a T. And I don't share them all with you for a lot of reasons, because a lot of times I know it'll just kind of, oh, you know, that makes me wet in my special places and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes I will, because, and I do it in a very calculating way, because I know, okay, this is one of those things, and I judge where you are, how you're feeling. And oftentimes I'll do it and I'll see if you in fact ever ask me for an orgasm. And you don't, which is on you. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of different ways. And it's a chess game when you're dealing with kind of orgasm control. It's a chess game because some days you're like, okay, so, you know, no, you're not going to have an orgasm. Or yes, you are. Okay, today I want you to have X number of orgasms. Today I want you to edge yourself so many times. Or for the next week, you're going to edge yourself every day. You know, whatever it is. And they're all different ways, especially in the beginning when you're trying to see, okay, how does a person react? Because a human being, unlike a chess piece, is not have predictable behavior every single time until you know them. Once you know them, their behavior is pretty predictable. If you look into all the variables and, oh, okay, they're in this mood, this is the outcome. But you have to play around in all of those to figure out what's going to happen. So if I do A, Nancy does B. You know, oh my God, unless it's her period, if I do A, she does Z. You know, so it just, you know, you have to understand how a person is and how they're feeling. Well, unless she had a bad day, then it's going to result in F, you know, whatever it is. So for me, it's a great way to kind of understand a person and get to know them. Additionally, one of the components of kind of orgasm control is I need to understand what kind of sexual fantasies that they have, which is also incredibly intimate. Incredibly revealing, especially in this world, because often once we've, you know, gone beyond vanilla, we're into the BDSM, that which arouses us kind of defines or gives us a foothold in where our kink is. So for you, you know, whipping scenes do not arouse you. They frighten you. But being caged, being humiliated, those are very arousing to you. That is for you. And those are your fantasies. And some of them are deep and dark. And it took you a long time to reveal that. It's a process of handing the trust over, of exchanging kind of how that trust goes. I think that orgasm control, the whole concept of it, is a very long process. And it's a great way to build upon a relationship, to build a relationship, to get to know your partner, both sides, and to really kind of feel it out. Sometimes you're like, all right, all you're showing me, another story, this one guy, like all he shows me is gay porn. All he shows me is gay porn. Big fat cocks in asses. And I'm like, that is awesome. Have fun. I don't have a cock. And he's like, well, but you know, no, but I only if you're directing it. I don't want to sit there and watch some guy fuck you. That does nothing for me. Because you want it. Now, if you have trepidation and you're concerned and you're worried and you would only do it for me, aight, that's kind of hot. But if you're out looking Craigslist for cock, I'm not your girl. It's not my thing. So for me, I mean, again, that's very telling. It's very, okay, I get that's where you are. That's great. I don't have any problem with that, but it's not going to work for a relationship with me. You know, the fantasies that you have. If you had come to me with fantasies that were like, you know, whatever, just not in my field of vision at all, I'd be like, or I couldn't even look at it and get excited about it, then it'd be like, all right, well, this is very telling that perhaps that our relationship isn't destined to be, you know? So it's a really great way. If you look past just the general sexuality of it, if you look under the motivation of it, it's a great way to get to know your partner. So that's part of the reason why I like the orgasm control.
What fascinates you about chastity devices?
What do you mean? I mean, do you mean like their design? I mean, I'm confused by the question.
I mean, given the choice, would you have a male use a chastity device? Or would you just take their word for it that they're not having orgasms?
I'm questionably trustful of men. That's a me thing. That's a me thing. There's a couple different reasons. And first and foremost, like I said, if I tell someone not to have an orgasm and they do and they lie about it, then all right, that's a defining moment in our no longer relationship. No more shall we do this. If a chastity device is required for them not to do it, then I'm not interested. Chastity device is nice. It removes any variables. For me, it's not even about the comfort of knowing that they're not going to be able to come or masturbate, because you can still come. It's just not very, it's not awesome. You can't masturbate. It's like kind of like being milked or whatever. But it's about that ever present. Like, I'm always there. It's kind of like a collar. Like, you touch your collar for comfort. That's there. I'm always there if a man is wearing a chastity device for me and I have the key. So that is one of the components that I really enjoy about it. And you can also use them in various types of horrible sadism.
That's right there. That's what it is.
I have been known to crack a whip at a chastity device on a man. It's awesome. Maybe a little Hitachi on that. It's awesome. So my ex-boyfriend had a metal one. And I was like, ooh, you should fuck me wearing it. And he was like, that sounds awful. I'm like, no, it's awesome. Let's do this. And he's like, no, but I can't. I don't care. I can. It's hard and metal. Yay. Right? Talk about horrible and cruel and love it.
It's horrible and cruel.
And love it. Because if you knew who I was talking about, you'd be like,
oh, no, yes. Yeah, I know who you're talking about, and good. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I mean, and I know that you had said one time that you would be interested in the possibility of a chastity device. I've heard questionable hygienic issues.
Me too.
So that's, I mean, I don't know how that's even resolved.
I don't
know either. I mean, how are you going to lock up the clit and the vajayjay and keep it clean? I don't have an answer for that.
Me either. If anybody out there has an answer for that.
Well, for men, there's various chastity devices there of different materials. There can be plastic, silicone, metal. Plastic, silicone, metal. I think that's about it.
Yeah.
And really, they go kind of around the entire shaft and balls, and then there's an entire cage that goes over the penis, and it prevents it from getting an erection.
Womp, womp,
but, you know, men do actually have nocturnal erections uncontrollably, which, from what I understand, is incredibly painful in a chastity device. Women, it's a much larger device. It's kind of like a belt that goes around them, then plus kind of a belt that goes from front to back, like belly button to asshole, to kind of prevent them from getting to their bits. But, you know, again, why? I mean, there's all sorts of logistical questions I have about that.
I think that requires more care than a male chastity device, for
correct.
Sure.
Correct.
For sure.
Are you able to take it off, take it on, or, I mean, put it back on yourself? Or are you...
Yeah, well, there's a key and a lock, and generally the owner has the key.
I pictured something like that, but I never had, like, heard of anyone actually using it.
Yeah. In fact, there's a common term in BDSM called the key holder, and that's the person who owns the key to either a lock, like her collar, or a chastity device lock. Same concept. It's about the owner. And yeah, I mean, and the funny thing is, so there's locks, and then I know that the CB series has tags with serial numbers on it. So let's say that you can't have a metal lock, like you're going through the TSA. So you have a metal tag, a plastic tag that it's individual, and if it's broken, you know it's broken. And so, I mean, but it's still, if you really wanted to break it off, you could break it off. But that's for those kinds of purposes. I actually had a male sub once who was wearing, it was a plastic chastity device with a metal lock, whatever, I don't care. And he had to go through security because he was on a business trip. And he went through security and had to get a pat down. And so female security guard, female TSA agent patting up the leg and then, chunk, sir, what is that? And with a deadpan face, he goes, it's a CB6000. And she goes, thank you very much, sir. And he was let go. So she's seen these before.
Well, TSA, I'm sure.
Right? The shit they see. And now with the body scanners?
Oh my God.
Fuck. Can you imagine the shit they see now? Chastity. I've never given my cock over to no woman. I don't know why all of a sudden
I don't know
ignorant
why.
Ignorant southerner, but I did.
I know. So weird.
I just jumped out of the pages of Huck Finn.
How does it make you feel to say no to an orgasm request?
Generally, it doesn't make me feel anything. I'm going to have a logical reason for saying no or yes. I don't willy-nilly do that. It's very rare. I'm probably more inclined to willy-nilly grant an orgasm than refuse one. Mm. But if I refuse one, much like with my children, if I say no, I give a reason. No, because of ABC. That's it. And because I want people to understand. I'm not just some stupid person or some cruel person that just, you know, no, because I said so. Well, that's a fucked up reason. No, why? I mean, okay, you're saying no because I haven't received service in X number of days. Because, you know, you told me to shut my face on the show.
Oh,
you know,
my.
Whatever. Whatever reason.
I was excited. I said it out of excitement.
Well, thank you, mistress, for
oh
that.
Oh, my
then.
God. Anyway. See, landmines.
I know. Aren't they great? Aren't they awesome? I loves them.
I hate them.
And you should shut your mouth all the time. Because as a friend of ours said, you are so good at throwing yourself under the bus. And you are. By the way, we've been invited to dinner at their house.
Awesome.
So yeah, I mean, that's for me. I mean, I assume that other people get a great glee out of telling somebody no. I'm not that kind of mistress. And this is probably one of my very own faults. Not very old, but one of my faults is that I'm not that cruel mistress. That is very much so. No, I'm not going to stop. I'm just, this phone needs to stop talking. I'm not going to just say no because I can. Well, yeah, I mean, I can. I could say no anytime I want. That's my, you know, my prerogative because I'm the boss. But why? I mean, is there a reason? All right, maybe it's no, because I don't want to have to go dig out the Hitachi, or I don't want to have to go this, or, you know, no, I don't want your dirty, filthy cum all over my house. Whatever. I mean, you know, if I ever, I could say no for those reasons. And quite frankly, they're logical reasons. But, you know, that's just me. I mean, there's more people out there that expect a mistress specifically, or even any dominant, to be meaner about it. And
yeah,
most of them aren't. And I could be.
Well, I think that's rooted in fantasy. So.
Yeah.
Kind of in the same way that you expect to be on your hands and knees 24/7.
Yeah, it'd be just a bitch for the carpal tunnel, wouldn't it?
God.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, again, it's about fantasy. And there can be those moments when it can be that kind of cruelness. I enjoy the moments, the scenes, the experiences where I can tap into that really gritty side of myself. That's fun. And we've been doing a lot more of that lately. And I'm really, really liking it. I enjoy that. But for the most part, I'm this person. I'm a total goofball. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that I don't have those other inclinations where I want to jump around and do other things. So it's kind of like BDSM ADHD.
Or every day at your house.
So, shut up. So, for you, when you agreed to orgasm control, what did you envision?
I didn't really have an idea of what was going to happen. I mean, at that time, I was not having orgasms that often. And I just, it didn't really, it didn't really register with me until much later what it meant. And at first, I think I was very, it was very easy for me to comply because I didn't want any orgasms. My body was like, nope, we're closed for business. Not happening. This is the fucking Sahara.
Wow.
So, you know, that happens. And then, like, there's no point. Like, it just, there's no carrot on a stick. And that was at first. And then once I got off the medication that I was on and I switched and then things were different, a lot of things changed. And then my sex drive started to wake up again. And then it just felt like, oh shit. So this is what I'm not getting. Like, it just woke up so many different things. And so it just, I can't say that I knew, like, that I had some sort of idea of what I was getting into when I agreed to it. Do I regret it? No, I don't regret it. But I mean, it's definitely something that has allowed me to see my orgasms in an entirely different way. And that, I don't know if that's so much due to the orgasm control or just the factors of my life that have changed where I can now actually enjoy orgasms.
So it's almost like we've had two phases in it because of kind of the different medications.
Mm-hmm.
And how's phase two going?
Phase two is really hard. Phase two is a lot harder than phase one.
You know that you actually ask for orgasms a lot more during phase one.
Yeah, I know. But I think...
Got an explanation for that?
Yeah, I do. Things were a lot different during phase one. Mm-hmm. In fact, for a large part of phase one, I could do that all willy-nilly. Like, once obviously got permission, like, it just wasn't an issue. And I think, like...
I remember some issues.
Well, yes, yeah, so there's some. I think now during, like, phase two, like, there's this added component of, like, me living with you, which is kind of, that's really difficult for me in that regard, because I have to have orgasms before you go to bed. And then, you know, somebody showering or, you know, just different things or life. We get busy, you know, and now, you know, the expectation for service is a little bit different because I'm there every day. And so if I don't haven't had a chance to do service because life, then I feel like an asshole asking for an orgasm because that's, you know, like, why, like, I'd be an asshole for that. Like, that's, you know, giving nothing and expecting something in return, like, that's not fair. So for me, like, I would rather, you know, not be that girl and not, I guess, like, rub it in your face that there hasn't been any service yet I'm asking for something. Do you know what I mean?
Interesting wording. No. I mean, I understand. I'm not interesting.
It's really hard for me to articulate some things. So the words that I'm saying, like, I'm just, I don't know how to accurately tell you what goes through my mind with words. I know what it's like in my head, but I can't.
Do you want to draw stick figures?
No.
That won't help? No? No. Okay. Well, I can't help you then.
No, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's an inconvenience almost. Is that weird?
Yes and no. I mean, I can see the cohabitating part. I can see how there can be an inconvenience to it. But I mean, all the other stuff, I wouldn't put that into the inconvenience category, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You're feeling me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, like, when you brought up the topic this morning and then you were like, oh, you're going to be so bitter.
Right.
I'm not bitter. Let me clarify. I'm not bitter, but I do kick myself in the ass for not asking more often, you know, but then there's all these other things that go with asking. I can't just ask. And then, like, you know, it's been a busy week and there was no fucking service. You know what I mean? Like,
pretty much.
Yeah. So, like, I'm not bitter about it, but I do kick myself in the ass for it, you know?
Do you kick yourself in the ass for not giving service or for not asking for an orgasm?
I kick myself in the ass because me not asking for an orgasm is because there was no service. And so it's really in my hands, like the factors that prevent me from asking are in my hands. And so it just, it frustrates me that, you know, there'll be like, you know, Wednesday nights we have the show, or there'll be another night where I work late and I'm just really damn tired, or, you know, whatever. And like, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So, you know, it starts with one like little, I didn't ask for an orgasm and I totally could have. And it turns into, why is my life so fucking busy that I can't have like consistent service, you know? Mm-hmm. So right here, right here. Mm-hmm. So that's why I kick myself in the ass for it.
Bless you.
Nobody heard her sneeze because she's in the booth, but she did. So I had to say bless you.
Sure.
It was the polite thing to do. You're welcome. Edging.
Yeah.
For those of you out there who don't know what edging is,
it's horrible.
Is masturbating to the brink of an orgasm and stopping and not having an orgasm. And edging can go on for a long, long time. And you went, ugh, why?
Because there's something about being on the brink of enjoyment and, you know, I don't know, fucking like perfect zen. Your body is floating and then gone. It's all gone. You miss it. You don't ride the wave. I think that's, you know, I'm describing more like physically like what it is. I think that now that's the physical part. I think the other part, which I mean, and I was just being melodramatic with my ugh. But I think that the thing that I've liked about edging when I'm with you is that at least, and I don't know, I mean, this could be just, you know, specific to you and I, but even if I'm edging, like you're still like, I still feel your presence and I feel like having you there and something about how you're still involved is almost better than at that time. It's almost better than actually getting to have the orgasm. I feel like, you know, there's some sort of like sadistic pleasure that you get out of that.
Yeah,
exactly. And so that pleasure, seeing that and then seeing that like sparkle in your eye and you smile and you're so pleased. You're so amused.
Amused, yes.
Yeah, you're so amused. And that's like a really like nice thing to see. And it just, if that feels good. And that's my logical answer.
That is a very logical answer.
Okay.
I appreciate that. It was very well articulated. You took an emotional thing.
So glad.
And articulated it logically. I appreciate that a lot.
It's really hard for me to articulate things sometimes.
What if you're edging and I'm not there?
It's not the same.
Well, duh. But what is it like?
It's frustrating.
I've never edged, so.
Thank God, because, man, you'd be not happy.
Can you imagine?
Oh, forget it. No, I don't want to. I don't want to. That's not good. All the coffee in the world wouldn't fix it.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope, nope, nope.
Yeah. No, when you're not there and edging is happening, I obviously don't feel as connected. I feel like, you know, sometimes I get scared that I'll be edging and that I won't stop in time.
Oh, you should be scared.
Yeah, that's a legitimate fear. You know, and in so many ways, I feel like, because I mean, I didn't start enjoying orgasms until pretty recent. It's not like. I remember trying to have orgasms in my early 20s. Oh my God, I'm turning 30 this year. In my early 20s, and like they were never, ever as awesome as they have been now, you know? And so it always,
really?
And so it really leads me to believe that, you know, I never explored my body in that way before. I just never had. And so edging is really scary for me because I feel like, okay, I gotta be really, like, gotta really pay attention. Really pay attention. What is happening? Is that it? Is that it? No, it's not it. I know it sounds really stupid. It does. But that, like, happens. It does happen, you know? And I get, like, really, just really, like, self-conscious about it.
Well, I think that, you know, you are justifiably paranoid because we have history with something similar. So, yeah, I mean, I can understand that. But I think that I wonder how common, I mean, statistically, I understand that it's fairly common for a lot of women to not fully understand their body and have explored it. In fact, there's some app that's being released soon to teach a woman how to masturbate. It's like a legitimate thing. And it's one of those things where I don't think that that's so much of an issue in the BDSM community because we're pretty sexually aware.
Well, I mean, but see, there's other factors like cultural status. You know, I mean, my family, we never talked about sex.
We didn't talk about masturbation, but.
We didn't talk about anything related to the downstairs area. Anything.
We talked about sex a lot, but masturbation was it was a dirty secret. Like, no. Like, when I started, my mom sent me to therapy when I was 17 because I had anger issues.
You don't say.
Fuck off. I remember being terrified that the therapist would find out that I masturbated. Terrified because I was a bad person. So, I mean, I get it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's factors like that. And I mean, there's more and more people out there that haven't explored their body. I think more people than report it, really.
I feel that that is an accurate thing in the past. And I think that it's lessening.
Oh, no, absolutely. It is lessening.
People are becoming more aware of, their bodies, of their sense of pleasure, of that which gives them pleasure, no matter how extreme some of them can be. Welcome to the internet. And so I think that it's not as much of an issue as it was for those of us who had to struggle, like me, before the internet. Woe is me. And with phones that were plugged into the wall.
Whoa!
Right? Crazy world. But yeah, no, I think that it definitely, it's masturbation is, it's a part of it.
I mean, there is obviously more than one reason why edging is kind of worrisome for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there a part of me that wishes that we could do away with orgasm control solely for the fact that, like, I feel like I've lost out on so much time with just exploring that? There is a small part, sure, but I wouldn't change that because I feel like that adds to our dynamic and I don't want to lose that, you know? And I feel very strongly that if I was going to explore that, I want to explore that with you. I want you to be a part of me exploring that. You know, I that's one of the things that orgasm control has helped in terms of, like, just growing in that way. I really wouldn't give orgasms that much meaning if it weren't for you.
Ah, so there, it's a ringing, you know, accolade for orgasm control. It sounds awesome. Everybody should do it. Go out and control your orgasms, people. Yes, drop the mic. I'm kidding. Wow. Hey, we're out of time.
Look at that.
I don't think that we touched on a lot of it, but we really did. I think we explored a lot further than just chastity, which we've done a full episode on. So, but that's us. Mm-hmm. And this is Intellectual Kink. And you can follow us on the Twitter. I'm Insidious Muse.
And I'm Service Slut. And
it's Kinkellectual.
Kinkellectual.
If you're listening, you are Kinkellectual.
And... Yuck. And then review us on iTunes, please, because we really, really, really value your input. And look us up on Fed if you are so inclined.
Yeah, and share us because, you know, we really want to orally gangbang everybody. That's what we want to do.
With protection.
Drops mic.